I'll tell you, my wife and I came here because we love Tim and Jolie Bubna, but we've started to get to know you all, and we feel at home here. And thank you for your Christian love. And those of you we haven't met yet or we haven't got to know yet, just give us time. We're part of the Dinner for Eight, and we're getting to know a few more people all along the way. So. Keep on keeping on. And I'm here not as what David said that kind of says my past, but I'm here because I love Jesus and because he has called me to preach his word, and I'm here to just share with you as we learn together. So I'm glad that you've had a chance to look at the passage. We're going to be looking at that passage together. I want you to, if you want, you don't have to, but there is an outline in your bulletin, but I didn't give you everything because I wanted you to stay awake, all right? So there's some blanks in there, and you'll get a chance to, if you're paying attention, you'll get a chance to get the answer to that. Otherwise, you can come to me afterwards. It's great to be opening up God's Word together. And one thing that I really like about this particular passage, and as we bring it into today, is that God still speaks. God still speaks. And we're going to look at what the Scripture says about God speaking as he spoke to Samuel, one of the first prophets of the prophetic era there. But before we do that, I just want to tell you a little bit about Barbara. Barbara was 5 years old, and she was doing some things that were displeasing to her mom. She was disobeying. And her mom gave her a little discipline. I won't explain to you what that discipline was, but a lot of people don't like that nowadays. But she talked to her, and she said... Barbara said to her mother, she said, "Mom, why do I do bad things?" And her mother said, "Well, you see, the devil tells us things deep in our minds, and God is also talking to us, but we need to listen to God and not to the devil." Okay, good explanation. Barbara said, "Well, God doesn't speak loud enough." And folks, it is true. God speaks in a still, small voice, doesn't he? And many times we don't listen to him. Many times we are going our own way as if God isn't involved in every little detail of our lives. But tell you what, he is. And he speaks a lot more than you and I listen to. And I am hoping that after today, that you will be listening more to what God wants to speak to you. Because God wants you to hear from him. And he wants to be involved in your everyday life. Now let me tell you, he doesn't tell you what kind of toothpaste to buy. He lets you pick it out, okay? But there are certain things that God tells us because he is guiding where he wants us to serve. He's guiding what he wants us to do. And we need to listen to him, folks. I think in the U.S., many times we think God saves us. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to see him again. And we sing a little to him during the week, maybe on Sunday. But God is very involved in our lives, and he's walking with us. He speaks to us in many different ways. But here, as we're looking at Samuel's life, this was around 1100 BC. And even though God started speaking at that time to Samuel, he speaks to us. And there's three things that we can learn about how God speaks. And the first one is that God still speaks to people who are listening. God still speaks to people who are listening. We're going to learn about how we can listen in these next coming minutes. Oswald Chambers is a famous author and one of my favorite authors. He said this about to Christians. He said, "We don't consciously or deliberately disobey God. We simply don't listen to him. He has given his commands to us, but we pay no attention to them. Not because of willful disobedience, but because we do not truly love and respect him." The scripture says in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me," Jesus said, "you will keep my commandments." Well, we should do our part to get close. That's the first part. Do our part to get close. All right, how do we do that? Look at 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. It says this, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word was rare, and there were not many visions." Samuel, the boy, was worshiping God. He was close to God. He was in the temple. And so he was not out doing his own thing. He was getting close to God. Now, in those days, the word of God was rare. Is that there was so much going on. There was so much sin because the people that they were following, Eli's sons, were evil. And so there weren't too many people that were following and were listening. So God wasn't speaking because nobody was listening. And sometimes we're not listening, so God's not going to be speaking. Let's learn to listen. God's people weren't obeying his law. Why should he speak to them? Look at James chapter 4, verse 8. And it gives us one of the things that we should do to get close to God. It says in James 4, verse 8, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You see, we have to have our minds set on obeying in order for God to speak to us, in order for us to hear him. Many times I hear people, I've been in the ministry now for about 28 years, and I hear people say, "I want to know God's will." I've heard it so many times, I can't even count them. But they want to know God's will to know whether or not they're going to obey. Did you hear that? Whether or not they're going to obey. If your mind is set on obeying first, regardless of what God tells you, then you'll listen. Then you'll hear. And so we need to have our minds, our wills, set to obey God. Decide to get close to God. Decide to get to know him, not just to use him. We have people that go to God and it's like they're going to Santa. They're saying, "I have my list of things that I want. Please give it to me." Sometimes some Christians even demand. They say, "God, you have to give me that because I'm one of your children." That's kind of like the king's kids kind of approach. God doesn't work that way. We need to decide to get close to God to know him. See, there are 7.6 billion people in the world, and yet God wants to know you. God wants to get to know you personally. He wants to be in a close relationship with you. I already know it's about you, but he wants to have that friendship, that fellowship with you. The second principle under people who are listening is that God speaks when we least expect it. God speaks when we least expect it. Because guess what? He's in charge, not us. And so he's the one that decides. He's the one that guides. And let's look at this next passage in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And then we're going to jump to verse 10. It says, "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And the Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.'" Okay, I think I jumped to 10 there. Let me make sure that I've got what you need. 3 and 4. Yes, and that, okay. I jumped from 4, jumped to 10. That's why it looked a little puzzling there. So God speaks when we least expect it. At that time, he was doing his job. He had been appointed to help Eli as he was sleeping. Okay? It wasn't that he was out there to find out, for God to tell him. He wasn't on a mountain doing a spiritual retreat to find God. God was calling him on God's terms. There's a few things that we need to know about in this passage. First of all, the lamp of God was the 7-branched eternal golden lampstand. Okay, this was what was near the temple there. It was just right next to the Holy of Holies, just outside of it. It was about my height. Okay, it was about 6'6". It was gold plated. In fact, they have a new replica of it right in Jerusalem. We got a chance to see it as we were visiting. And it's 24 karat gold plated. It's worth about $2 million. Okay, it's all protected and everything. But it represents to the people of Israel, it represents hope. Even today, it represents now they're ready as soon as they can to build the new temple. But what this means was that showed the presence of God near his people. And God is near you. God is near me. The Bible says that if we have trusted in Jesus Christ, not only does he love us, not only does he forgive our sins, but he comes to live where? He comes to live in us. It says Christ in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And so he had, at the special time, he brought about salvation and he brought about this the relationship. But look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. We'll see that special time, and there was a special time for Samuel as well. But look at Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So at just the right time, Jesus came to this earth. We know that even historically, when Jesus came, it was the perfect time for Christianity to spread because of what they call Pax Romana, because there was a system of roads that could, because the Romans had conquered all these places. Before that, it wouldn't have been able to spread so quickly. Paul wouldn't have been able to go on his missionary journeys, but just at the right time, God sent Jesus. And at just the right time, God was calling out to you and was calling out to me. And God is calling us to get closer to him. Samuel had never heard God's voice until that night. But at that night, it was just the right time. And just like Jesus came to the earth at just the right time. Early literature in this stage, they had something called incubation dreams. They were dreams where somebody would see someone else tell them about a prophetic vision. And at this time, God spoke to Samuel 4 different times. How many of you, don't point to your husband, please, but how many of you yourselves are a little hard-headed? You just don't get it the first time. Maybe you don't get it the second time. Well, Samuel, and we can rest easy, Samuel didn't get it until the 4th time. Okay? Now, I understand that Samuel was probably about 12 years old. According to Josephus, he was about 12. But what about Eli? Eli was a priest. He was supposed to be close to God, and yet he didn't figure it out until the third time. Well, I'll give him this. He was woken up in the middle of the night, so it was a little hard for him to think quickly. Would God have kept calling the fifth, sixth, seventh time? We don't really know, but we do know that God, there is a point where God stops calling when people do not listen. When people harden their hearts, then they can no longer hear. Proverbs 29, verse 1 indicates that people can harden their hearts. You know, God has spoken to me many times, and he usually says the same thing a few times. I remember one time I was driving to work. I was around 18 or 19 years old. I was driving to work in a summer job, and the Lord told me to stop and to give my lunch to a lady that was sitting on the curb, not a curb, but it was like a porch, a front porch. And I was late, and I was like, Lord, can't you see? I'm late to work. I got to get there. And so I passed her. And as I passed her, the Lord said in so many words, I mean it. Turn around. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to lose my job. But I turned around. I came around the block and back around, and I stopped in front of this lady. And I kept telling the Lord, I was explaining to him, he didn't get it, right? I was explaining to him that I'm going to look like a fool. This lady is going to, sitting on her front porch, is going to say, what in the world are you doing? And so I go up to her, I have my bag lunch, and you know, I'm a big guy, so I had a big lunch. And I said, God told me to give you my lunch. He loves you, and this is in Jesus' name. See, I remembered, you know, give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. I gave it to her, and she started to cry. And she said, I don't know how you knew this, but I haven't eaten in 2 days. And I said, well, I didn't know this, but God did, you know. And then I got in my car, and I went to my work. My boss wasn't there that day, and nothing happened. But anyway, that showed me early in my adult Christianity that I needed to listen to God's voice, that he means business when he talks. Now, if you hear his voice and you don't respond, what's he going to do? He might tell you a few more times, but then he's going to talk to somebody else. If you're not going to listen to him, he's going to talk to somebody else. And folks, I want to be in on what God is doing, don't you? All right, so getting back to this, we should welcome God's voice. The next line is we should welcome God's voice. In verse 10, the second part, it says, then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now that isn't speak like, you know, a command, but it's an invitation. Speak, tell me. I am listening. I want to hear you. Folks, you are going to be surprised when you ask God to speak to you. He wants to speak. He wants to listen. He wants you to listen. Now, he speaks in many different ways. He speaks through his word. We can't throw out his word because I have heard so many times, and my wife was reminding me of this as I was getting ready, and it's so true. I've heard people say, God told me to divorce my husband and marry this other guy. And I'll tell you right now, God did not tell you that, because if it goes against his word, then it's wrong. But we hear God through his word, but we also hear him in our conscience. Many times God speaks to us with what is right and what is wrong, and we need to follow what is right. And sometimes he speaks like this in a way that's different than both of those, but we know that he is speaking to us. I remember one time where my wife, I wasn't here there, but my wife was in a situation in Brazil where she was about ready to pull over to the right lane of traffic because there was nobody there. That's unusual for São Paulo traffic. So she was going to pull over, and somebody told her, almost like yelling in her ear, "Stop!" And instead of pulling out, she stayed where she was at. What happened next is that another car pulled up and stopped at that, in that open spot, and a bus came and smashed that car out into the traffic. The back of that car, fortunately there was nobody in the back seat, the back of that car was smashed all the way up to the driver. In our car, two of our girls were in the back seat. And our little drummer here today would have not been playing drums if Julie had not listened to that voice. I believe that was God speaking. There wasn't any other reason. God speaks to those who are surrendered is our next principle. You know, inside the cockpit of a plane, I've never been a pilot. Wanted to be a pilot, but I've studied a lot about it. And there is a point of no return when you need to, when you're getting ready to lift off. They call it V1, and that's the velocity when you have to decide you are going to fly. You know, and so there's this decision that a pilot needs to make to take off. Speed, wind, and the weight of the aircraft, all of those things come into play. But at this one point, they need to decide, we're going to abort the takeoff or we are going to fly. Apply full throttle and take off. That's what we need to do as Christians. We need to make that decision. We are going with God. We are going to continue, and we are going to give it all that we have. When we do that, then God will take over. He will guide us that we'll do the right thing. He'll guide us in the ministries that we have. He'll guide us in our life and our family. We need to make that all-encompassing decision to go forward with God. Since God has known you since before birth, we should be surrendered. Here in Samuel 1, verse 17, 20, and 26 to 28, I'm going to read just a few portions. Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." This was Samuel's mother when she was barren. Okay, this was Hannah. She had been praying. She had been one who was listening to God before and praying that she would get pregnant and have a son, and she gave birth to Samuel. Looking at verse 26, she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman," she's speaking to Eli, "the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. Now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel's mom had never had children. God granted her request, and she dedicated him to the Lord. We believe, according to the historians, that he was about 12 years old when he finally went to the temple to serve. But, you know, the Lord knows about you. He knows about me. And he has created you with very differently. Each of us has different skills, talents, abilities, spiritual gifts, backgrounds, all of that. And it's great that we have such variety. Jeremiah 1, verse 5 said this about Jeremiah: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. You know, God knew about you as well. And God has given you a job to do. I don't know what it is, but God knows and God can tell you. The second principle is unsurrendered people are disqualified. The unsurrendered people, unfortunately, were Eli's sons. Okay? In verse 12 and verse 17, Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. To me, I didn't know exactly what a scoundrel was. I went to the ESV and it said this: Eli's sons were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And then verse 17, this sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. They were taking the best and giving God the worst. They were, you know, anything that came that was prime rib, that was on their plate. Anything that was so-so, they were giving that to the Lord. They were just using their position. They weren't worshiping God. And it showed other things in their lives that were wrong. But we need to listen to the Lord. We need to be surrendered to Him so that we can listen. There was a commercial that Verizon had a few years ago, and it was pretty famous, or kind of catchy. Can you hear me now? And this guy, I watched the video to see what it was like. He would go to different parts of the country, and he would say, can you hear me now? And he'd be in one situation up in the mountains, wherever, can you hear me now? And the idea was that anywhere you were, you could hear Verizon, right? Well, in God's economy, if you are listening, you can hear God if you're in the right area. But if you're in sin, the only thing you're going to hear Him say is you need to repent and turn around. And it's kind of like when your son or daughter is disobeying and they ask you for something. You say, well, I want you to obey first. And God wants us to obey. We are His sons and daughters. He wants us to be obedient sons and daughters. And then we'll be in a right relationship with Him. All right, you need to make that choice yourself. Chapter 3, verse 9, it says, so Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Okay, Eli, the leader, tells him to go lie down, and what did he do? He went and lied down. Then he said, I want you, if God comes and comes to you again, you say, speak, for your servant is listening. And that's exactly what he did. He chose to obey. The next principle is God still speaks to people who are available. God speaks to experienced servants. Let's look first at chapter 3, verse 5, 6, and 8. And basically, he's saying the same thing. He ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. A third time, the Lord said, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. God called Samuel really four times, didn't he? Every single time Samuel heard the Lord or his representative Eli was ready and available. His favorite answer, here I am. But what is your answer? God is looking for volunteers. Here I am, I'm too busy. Or here I am, send my brother. We need to say, here I am, send me. God tells them what He wants them to do. Okay? Those who are available, God tells them what he wants them to do. In verses 11 to 14, it says this. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who speaks about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will be atoned for by sacrifice, will not never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." How would you like to be Samuel? Your first job to do was to tell your boss that God was going to judge him and his family. That's not exactly a fun message to give. Fortunately, Eli coaxed it out of me. He says, "No matter what it is, tell me what it is so that I will hear also from the voice of God." God will tell you what he wants you to do. Be careful you don't just say yes to everything. That's my tendency to say yes to too much. And we need to hear God's voice to know what he wants us to do, because he won't wear us out. He won't make us do too much. We need to do what he asks, and then we'll do it in his strength. The last part of speaking to people who are available is that God establishes their ministries. In verses 19 to 21, it shows how God was with Samuel. He was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. What does that mean? That means everything that Samuel said came true. Other prophets, if they were a false prophet and they said one thing that didn't come true, then they were to be stoned because they were false. But Samuel was a true prophet. Everything he said came true. And look at verse 21. It says, "The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh," that's where the temple was at the time, "and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." God speaks through his word. If you're not in his word, then you will be missing many of the things that God wants to tell you. Many times God has spoken to me just in my devotional time reading, and I would have never heard that before. And it seems that God can even work in something that's planned, something that is a series of things. It's like he set it up way back that it was going to be that day that he was going to tell you what you needed for that day, that life event. When God is with somebody, they will have a successful ministry. It might not be the same ministry that other people would think is success, but to God, it is success. And so I want to ask you, when is the last time that God spoke to you? Don't answer out loud, but think about it. And then, did you obey that? Maybe you're hearing that you were supposed to do something and you didn't obey, and then you need to go back to that point to obey, and then you'll start hearing again. I remember when I was called to be a missionary, I was very young, but at 18, I decided I was going to go my own way, and I started studying at a different school, and it was coming up to missions conference, and I was like, oh no, God is going to remind me of my call. I was getting uncomfortable, and finally I said, I give up. I'm going to be a missionary. I'll do it. And then God's peace came back into my life. And then I realized that I was doing the right thing. I stayed the rest of that year, and I took classes that would transfer. But I knew that I was getting back on track to what God wanted for my life. If you haven't heard from God in a while, which of these areas do you need to make right with God? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us and that you care for us, that you know all about us, and that you have things that you want us to do. Lord, there's so many things we could do. I pray that you would guide us to what you want us to do through with our gifts, with our ministry, with our families, with all of those things. And Father, I pray that you would speak to each person who's here. And Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you yet, I pray that you would show them how much you care. I pray that if they would ask even this short prayer, Lord, if you're real, show me. Lord, I pray that you would respond and that you would show them how you are real and that you care about them. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to hear your word and to be with you. Lord, as we go today, I pray that you would guide us and that we would please you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.